Let's take our Bibles once again. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 90. Psalm 90. Psalms, chapter 90. The title right above verse 1 says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Psalm 90 is considered to be the oldest of the Psalms. Penned, obviously, by Moses. But listen to what was said concerning Moses, the man of God. What a wording, what a saying, what a truth. The man of God. A man known of God, loved of God, called of God, taught of God. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one chosen by God to deliver God's people out of Egypt. Picture of Christ who delivers his people out of the bondage of sin. A man, the scripture says, that spoke face to face with God. A man that spoke face to face with God. A God who is spirit, oh, but the image of the invisible God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke to Moses. But is he not a picture again of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in the book of Proverbs to be wisdom himself, who was ever before the Father? Before the worlds were made, before the mountains were formed, before there was anything, I was with him. That's what the Lord said. It's one brought up with him. And Moses was moved by the Spirit of God to pen this song, a psalm, a song. And he began this psalm by saying, Lord Jehovah, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Jehovah. Jehovah. Thou hast been our habitation, our refuge. You know, God's people are born into this world, as we considered just a moment ago, sinners. But when the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, in who? In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image, the express image of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, in whom dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Being chosen in him, being in him, Moses can say, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, I love this thought. I believe this, that God's people have always dwelt in him. You said, well, what about when they fell in Adam? God's people have always been in Christ. How about when they sinned? Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now don't ask me to explain that to you, but I'm going to proclaim it because it's so. You've always been our habitation, our refuge. We've always been in you. Before we believed, the Father put us in the hiding place himself. And he's always been our surety. He's always been our representative. Always been our husband. I betrothed you unto me everlastingly. Let me ask you this. How long have God's people been secure? Chosen in him. Lord. Verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth. And the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before there was any stable part we know of creation, Lord, there was you. In the beginning, God. The I Am. The true and living God, the only God, the unchangeable God, sovereign. Sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation, and Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return. You children of men. Lord, you turn men or cause them to return to dust. We're born. From dust we were made. That's how Adam was made. God made Adam from the dust of the earth. Let me just read something to you. Job 34:15. Job 34:15. What are we going back to as far as this body is concerned? Well, here it is right here. Job 34. Verse 15. All flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn or return again to dust. That's what's going to happen. That's what Moses said. Thou turnest man in general, all men, to destruction. We're going to die. That's what he said. You cause, because of sin, for all men to go back to that to which they came, from which they came, and you determine the time that they're going to turn or return. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2. What to everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, time to be born, time to die. Everything's according to God's will, God's timing, God's decree. Men pass away, but Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations, always will be. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Moses said in verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Lord, you're eternal. Time has no bearing on God as to his existence. God is the I am. All is with him now. 1,000 years in your sight is but as yesterday when it's past. 1,000 years as it's yesterday. Paul and Larry came to see us. He got here Friday afternoon, and from Friday afternoon to right now, just like that, just a blip, I just remember. Just 1,000 years to the Lord, just as yesterday. As a watch, just a portion in the night. 1,000 years, it just seems so long to man. 1,000 years, 1,000 years. 1,000 years, it just seems like a day to the Lord. Just a moment. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. To him, nothing more than just a watch, just a portion of the night. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. Thou, Lord, generations, generations, generations come, and you just carry them away like a tsunami. Tsunami comes back and wipes away everything, just obliterates it, just takes it out. All men, just like a sleep. In the morning, they're like grass, grows up like dreams that seem to have some sustenance to it there while I'm dreaming it. Then in the morning, I wake up and realize it's gone. It's just a dream. Verse 6, in the morning, it flourisheth, groweth up in the evening, cut down and withereth it. Youth, it seems like it just appeared to have some promise just a while. I'm just thinking here just a second. Something happened. I think I mentioned this to you one time before. I told my dad one time, I remembered a house that we lived in Alexandria, Louisiana. I remembered hearing in my mind, I can remember hearing a creaking noise up. And my dad was sitting from where I was standing, my dad was sitting right here. And there was a stairway that went up. And I heard something, and I looked, and I remember him telling me, he said, I think that was just, you know, an elf or something, you know. I said, I told my dad that. He said, you can't remember that. I said, well, I think I do. I remember where you were sitting, and I remember the stairway. I remember you telling me what you told me. He said, you were only just, you know, 8-10 months old, something like that. I said, well, okay. Okay. I was just sitting, you know, on the riverfront in Natchitoches, Louisiana, in college. I was just sitting there. I was just, you know, Glenda and I just got married. It just, you know. In the morning it flourisheth, groweth up. In the evening it's cut down and withereth. Verse 7, we're all consumed by thine anger, by the wrath, we're troubled. Now here we are, we're all like this. Believers, unbelievers, we're consumed. That is, we come to an end. What does that mean? That means we're all going to die. For thy wrath, the fury of your power. Not that God's people are under the wrath of God. God's people have never been under the wrath of God. God doesn't deal with his own in wrath. Why? He dealt with his son in wrath. He forsook his son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? that he would not forsake his own. God's just. He's just. And we're all going to die. He's, you know, the Lord has put away our debt in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, we're going to be consumed, meaning that we're going to die just like all men die. Believers die just like unbelievers die. We're all going to die. But Lord, verse 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Let me tell you the iniquities that God knows of His people. All men, but His people, that those that He set before Him, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Let me tell you the ones He knows. All of them. All of them. There's some things you don't know about me. I grew up with her. There's some things she don't know about me. There's some things that I've done and thought and said that she don't know. That's my sister. She don't know. But God does. God does. And You set our iniquities before You in the person of Your blessed Savior. All of them. The ones that I forgot. The ones I don't want to remember. Those secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. He was made all. The completeness. You set them all before You. Those things that we would desire to conceal. I hope nobody ever. I hope you never find out some stuff about me. I do. I really do. You set them before You in the person of Your precious Son and Your Lamb. You dealt with them. You dealt with them. And Lord, you put them away. I don't owe. I don't owe anymore. I don't owe. Oh. Verse 9, all our days are past, they're turned away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You've turned them away from us. Our days that we have on this earth shall fail to continue with us. Our lives are quickly turn back, and we're gonna leave. We spend our days as no longer than a thought or just a meditation, just a tale that's told. This life but a vapor. This life's a vapor. I'm telling you now. It wasn't just a little bit ago. I, you know, turned 10. I'm old. How did I get here? Didn't take long, I can tell you that. I got here by the grace of God, and now here I am. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's just 70. I'm older than that. And if by reason of strength, they be 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it's soon cut off. What does that mean, they're soon cut off? It means we ain't going to be here long. That's what it means. And we fly away. The Spirit of God has set forth that the average time for a man on this earth, by God's decree, by God, 70 years old. But if He gives us 80, and our bodies happen to appear to have a little bit more vigor and vim and strength, we're just filled with weariness and affliction, filled with trouble and grief. And we're gonna die. I told you about me reading that, what this man that had his 102nd birthday, they asked him, what do you want for your birthday? He said, I want to die. You just get tired. Verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. You know, we see something in the scriptures concerning the power of God's anger against sin. I think about reading over in Revelation when we're all going to stand before God and all the books are going to be opened. And they're those that are not found written in the book of life, Christ himself, they're going to be judged out of the books of their works, of what they had done. Okay, I can read that. I read it. And those not found written in the book of life, here's what Scripture says, bind them hand and foot and cast them out. Now do you know, I don't know anything about God's wrath. I read that. I understand that. I understand the words of it. But I don't know any. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Who knoweth? When God sent the flood, when God rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, when those that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness, but especially at the cross, Christ being made sin, being made what we are, and God forsook him. Who knoweth? Who can tell? Who can perceive the power of thine anger? Who knows that? Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. You know, just like no mere man can contemplate the fierceness of God's anger, no one knows or considers the reverence that's due him. Even so to thy fear. Who knows the power of your anger? Who knows according to thy fear? Who knows the reverence that's due to you? I don't realize how reverent I need to be. I want to be. I want to be. I want to be. I'm just here for a little while. I want to be. I want to be respectful. I do. I don't know how to reverence him. I'm telling you, I'm an ignorant person. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who imagines what's going to come to those who are found without Christ, without a substitute? So Lord, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Instruct us to weigh the days that we're given here. Let me tell you what I would desire. And I mean this. I am sincere. I want to be obedient. I want to consider that this might be my last day. Do you know, I would assume that most people that die really didn't think that that was going to be their last day. Even those that maybe die tragically in an accident. I'm sure that they didn't wake up that day thinking, well, today's... But if this was my last day, what would be my attitude today? What would really matter to me today if I knew this is going to be my last day? This is it. You know, I would pretty well assume that probably things of this life probably wouldn't have the luster. If I knew today's it, this is going to be it. Teach us to count or to consider that this might be our last day, and keep me from being taken up with the things of this world. How would things be? I would hope that I'd want to get things right with people that I'd, you know, been careless about. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Let the realization of Christ's glory and honor and praise come upon me. Let me consider that. If this is the last message that I'm going to preach, this is going to be it right here. I would say, okay, well, refer first back to what I just said in the first message and consider this. You're getting ready to meet God. You're going to meet God. I'm going to meet God. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, seeking His will. I just don't have time. Today I'm dying today. I don't have time for foolishness. Let me get serious. Lord, help me to be serious. Let us reckon our days as to be too uncertain to try to see what we can do to just waste this time. Verse 13, 14, return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Return, O Lord. Turn back to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. Lord, help me because I don't have the ability to rejoice as I would want to. Lord, help me here. Help me by your Spirit restore. How long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. That word early right there, here's what it means. After a night of distress. Lord, when I consider this life that's been like a vapor, like a night of distress, like a night of trials and troubles. Lord, satisfy us with your mercy. Lord, cause me to remember one more time that you've been merciful, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Draw us to yourself. Cause us to walk as a believer. Let me exhibit what I truly desire in my heart, to walk with you. I want to agree with you and walk with you. Moses here cries, come back, Lord, how long shall it be? Lord, don't forsake me. David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Make us glad. Make us glad. Cause us to rejoice. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. I needed to be afflicted. It's good, David said, that I've been afflicted. I needed some chastisement. I needed to be chastened. I needed to be afflicted. I needed the Lord to teach me what I am. Continually teach me. Bring me back. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us in the years wherein we've seen evil. Let the occasions of our joy be in mercy according to the days of our affliction, which we truly deserved. We've been shown your kindness, your compassion, our need of you, Lord, our Savior and our Lord. Make us glad. Make me glad. Make me to rejoice again. Make me to remember God's been merciful to me. Isn't it sad that I can't remember that like I want to? Verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto thy children. Let thy work show me, not my work, because Lord, without you I can do nothing, but yours, the glorious work of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory. Moses said, show me your glory. What did he say? I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Lord, I need to be taught again. I need to be reminded and shown again, Lord, what you've done to me. Verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty, the favor, the mercy, compassion, righteousness of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the pleasantness of the Lord our God, your favor, and establish or render sure the work of our hands. What work? That which he's established, that work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But always remember, that was the work of God. Faithful is he who calleth you, will also do it. Believing on Christ. What must I do to work the work of God? That's what one asked the Lord one day. What must I do to work the work of God? He said, this is the work of God. This is the work that God has wrought in you. This is the work of God. That you believe on him whom God has sent. Lord, according to your word, we're only going to be here for just a little while. Time is passing very quickly. Lord, teach us to number, count, account. Teach us to number our days. Again, not our years, months, weeks, days. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto Christ, unto wisdom, for his glory and our good. Amen.